This afternoon, we want to continue in our study through the book of Acts, and we're looking at the first missionary journey of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul is getting ready to return from heading out, as we saw last week. Last week, we saw that he went up here to Antioch. It's the second Antioch city. And from Antioch, he went up there to. He went to Iconium. Antioch and Pisidia, and then he went from there. He went over to Lystra, and then over to Iconium, and then down to Derbe. This would be where Lystra is, this is Iconium, and this is Derbe over here. And as he went and shared the gospel in every city, there was a common thread. He initially was met with much openness. Many people came to accept Jesus, but then there were to rise up those who really were of this world and who Satan could use to turn against the gospel message. And many of them, in turn, sought to have Paul run out of town, beaten, stoned. And we saw in the last instance that he was stoned and left for dead as he returned and brought out to the outside of the city and left for dead. We see that Paul and Barnabas then from there did go to Derbe, which I mentioned is this city way over here, from Iconium and over to Derbe. We're picking it up at chapter 14 at verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel in that city, that would have been Derbe, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And after they had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles, and there they abode a long time with the disciples. Let's just bow in prayer. Father, I pray that you just be with us now, and Lord, I pray that you just help us as we look at your word, and help us understand the importance of realizing the need to fulfill the great commission which you gave not only to the apostles, but to all those that would follow after them, to take the gospel into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And Lord, help us also realize that there's a great spiritual battle going on whenever the gospel is preached, and that battle is for the hearts and souls of men. Satan desires that men would remain in rebellion against you, aligning themselves with him, that he can bring about destruction and death in their lives. And Lord, may we see that you desire that all men should be set free by the blood of Jesus and the gospel message. And Father, help us to walk in your power and following you, even as we saw this morning, according to your word. Be with us now. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things that's interesting as you look at this, we saw that as Paul had left, and I find where Paul was stoned in trying to see which city he was stoned in. Got it. But anyway, as Paul had been stoned, and after he was stoned and drug out of the city and left for dead, he went back into the city that same night. I want to see just one thing. God had called Paul, and God was not going to allow Paul not to fulfill the mission he had called him to. Two things I want you to see about Paul's attitude. First of all, Paul sought the calling of God to be much more important than the response against him by men. And even though he was in danger of losing his life, he still saw the importance of the gospel and the eternal consequences for men's souls as being greater than his own health and safety. And for that reason, after he was stoned, drug out of the city, we saw last Sunday afternoon that Paul literally went back into the city the next morning to talk to the Christians, to those that had converted to Christ, before he left to go to these other cities. Now, when he goes to the city of Derbe, which is the furthest away, this one right here, as he comes to that city, it says that he preached there for a time, and there were those that were converted in the city of Derbe as well. Wherever Paul went, people were converted to Christ. And I want you to understand, it wasn't because Paul was such a great speaker. As a matter of fact, later on in his letters to the churches, specifically to the church at Corinth, where many of the people had followed, many of the people had followed another man because he was a much better speaker than the Apostle Paul. And Paul said that it wasn't the ability to speak that was the need, but people shouldn't follow men, whether it be that man or Paul or Peter or any other man, but rather they should seek to follow the Lord and seek to do God's will. That's exactly what Paul did. Paul walked in the power of God's Spirit, and when he spoke, the Spirit drew men's heart and made them come to the choice of decision quickly. Either they were going to accept and follow what Paul had to say, or they were going to reject it and rebel against God even more. And that was the response that Paul got in all of his ministries. But I want you to see that the interesting thing is, as you look at where Derbe is on the map right here, it would have been much easier for Paul and Silas to just go from Derbe over to here, down to here, to Antioch. And they wouldn't have had to go back through Lystra, Iconium, and the other Antioch. And they could have avoided all those people who had risen up to attempt to drive Paul out of town, to have beaten Paul, to have stoned Paul and left him for dead. They could have avoided it all. However, in the text, we see that Paul understood something very important, something which many people need to understand today, and that is when someone comes to Christ, that's the beginning. It's not the end of it all. And what happens is people need to be taught in the gospel. They need to be taught in the Word of God. They need to understand the principles of God's Word, and they shouldn't be just left to fend for themselves as a newborn Christian. Paul understood this. And so Paul and Barnabas, it says that instead of going from Derbe this way and back to Antioch, they backtracked everywhere they had been. And so they initially went from Derbe back to Lystra, then back to Iconium, and then back to Antioch. And the reason they did it, it says, for a twofold reason. In these churches, these are new churches. And God had just brought the word to many of these churches. In some of these churches, there were Jewish believers. And the Jewish believers would have had an understanding of what we refer to as the Old Testament. It would have been the scriptures that they had at that time. And they would have had an understanding of the law, the prophets, the teachings of the Psalms and Proverbs, the teachings of the other prophets in the Old Testament, and they would have had a basis or a foundation. And so in some of these cities where there were Christian people, Jewish people that had come to Christ, Paul and Barnabas may have set them up as elders. But wherever they went, I want you to see it wasn't Paul and Barnabas that were choosing the elders. They relied upon the Lord to call out those men who he wanted to be the leaders in those various Christian churches. These were brand new churches or ecclesia meetings. And so we see that as he goes back to Lystra, where he had been stoned and left for dead, and then back up to Iconium, and then back over to Antioch, in all three places, he and Barnabas spend time. And there's a twofold reason for their spending of the time. One is confirming souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of God. The first thing is encouraging the Christians who had just accepted the gospel message not to give up. They had seen Paul, who brought the message, treated severely and in the one case left for dead. But they'd also seen God raise him up, so the next morning he was healthy enough to go back into the city and minister to them further. And so we see that Paul exhorts them to understand this is a spiritual battle and you're going to be persecuted, but you're making a choice that is the correct choice because you're standing for truth. Satan hates truth. Satan loves lies because he's the father of lies. He perpetuates lies and he tries to get men to believe lies. And Paul went back to tell them, stand for truth and grow in the Lord. So that's the first thing he wanted to do, is to exhort them to continue on, build upon the decision they had made to believe and follow Christ. The second thing is found in verse 23. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Now I want you to see two things here. They ordained elders, that is, they called men out to be the leaders of the church. We see that elders were first spoken of in the Old Testament as the elders of Israel. And they were to be the leaders of the various tribes. In the church, God called out for those to be overseers or elders that were to look out for the spiritual well-being of the Christians of which they were a part of that flock. Also, the overseers and elders were to be there to help instruct the flock, to teach the Christians principles of God's Word, and to help to encourage them to continue to walk in the Lord. Now, as you see here, oftentimes many people will come and be either grow up in a church or come into a church that's established. You've already got a lot of Christians that have been believers who have walked for some time. These churches were all brand new. There hadn't been Gentile believers before Paul went on his missionary journey, other than those that had been taught and preached to by Peter. And then as we saw when the people from Cyrene, Cyprus, and Phoenicia had gone up to the other Antioch, and there had been Gentiles converted there. The church up prior to that had been made up just about 100% of Jewish people. And we're seeing that more and more Gentiles are coming into the church. With more and more Gentiles coming into the church, they're coming in with less and less understanding of who God is and of a spiritual foundation, which is the Word of God. They need to be instructed in the Word of God. They need to be given the Word of God. And this is why the Lord also had Paul write to many of the churches and write his letters to the churches throughout the area where he went on missionary journeys. These are the letters that we have as the canon of Scripture that were inspired by the Lord. But in some of these letters, Paul makes reference to the fact that he's written other letters to them. Paul did not leave these people helpless. And this is one of the things that we need to understand as we look at God's Word this afternoon. When you begin to work with someone and show them the gospel, and if they come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior, you don't leave them and say, okay, now you're a Christian, go find some books to read or go read your Bible and we'll see you later. No, Paul went and he instructed them. He helped them if they had problems. He addressed the problems and showed them out of Scripture how they were to deal with those issues in their life. And likewise, we are to do that as well. And one of the things that we as Christians really sorely lack is discipleship oftentimes with those that we bring to Christ. We need to help them come into a deeper walk with the Lord, a greater understanding of His Word, and the three points that we looked at this morning, that they begin to make the Word the foundation of their life, and they begin to understand the power of God in their life, and they begin to look at Jesus as the leader of their life as they walk with Him. And Paul did all of these things, and he began to do it very quickly after he had established these churches. It was a matter of not years, but a matter of just months when he went back to these various churches. When he gets back to them, he finds men that God leads him and Barnabas to ordain or set aside as the elders. He instructs the elders. But I also want you to see that he fasts and prays about this. He just doesn't arbitrarily pick them because maybe they've got some good qualifications of leadership. You need to have something more than just the ability to lead a group of people. You need to have a relationship with God and a growth in understanding and a walking with the Lord if you're going to be a spiritual leader within a church. One of the things that I mentioned this morning was that seminar I'd gone to on how to grow a church. One of the things that they did that was totally wrong and bothered me greatly is that they gave all humanistic qualities to those that should be put into positions of leadership. And that isn't what God looks for. God looks at the heart. And oftentimes, if you look at Scripture, those that God called out to do specific jobs, which meant leading, whether it was in the Old Testament, leading in Israel, or in the New Testament, leading in the church, oftentimes people would have picked someone else. The man I was trying to think of earlier was Apollos. Apollos was a much more gifted speaker. He was a much more dynamic leader when it came to just charismatic leader than the Apostle Paul was. As a matter of fact, Paul, many people said that he was, as you read Scripture, you get the impression he was an excellent communicator of truth, but he wasn't a dynamic speaker. As a matter of fact, it was Paul that was preaching later on, we'll see in the book of Acts, where a man falls asleep and falls out of a window and dies. Whether it was because of the message or because of the lateness of the hour, I don't know. But the thing is, Paul wasn't dynamic, but yet he was powerful because he constantly walked in the power of God. Paul planted more churches than any other man that we see in the New Testament, led more people to Christ, wrote more doctrine than any of the other apostles did for the early church. And yet Paul was small of stature and wasn't one that you would look on and say, I want to follow that guy because of the way he looks and the way he's got this charismatic personality. That wasn't Paul, but Paul had a heart for people. And as Paul is leaving these men, who he and Barnabas, the Lord showed them to set these men aside, one of the things they do is they fast and pray for these men. And as we see here in verse 23, and when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them, what? To the Lord, and on whom they believed. They gave them to the Lord and asked that the Lord would continue to work in their lives and they would remain true to the Lord. And so we see that Paul was very concerned about those that he put in charge and what their responsibility was, and that they understand their responsibility and that God would give them the wisdom and the strength to fulfill that commission. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And so we see that Pisidia was Antioch of Pisidia. And then they came back down here to the coast where they had preached in these sisters to Perga and this area down here. And then they went back and took the ship back over to the Antioch, which is located in Lebanon or northern Lebanon or southern Turkey today. And that's where Paul went back. Now, I want you to see what Paul did when he got back there. He did two things when he got back. The first thing is, he got back and he reported immediately how God had worked powerfully throughout all of these cities that he and Barnabas had gone to. They reported the things that had happened, the people that got saved. They reported how the opposition they'd met. but they showed how God had overcome that opposition by drawing people to himself and establishing churches in this area. One of the things that oftentimes we don't do enough of in the church today is really share with one another how God has worked in our life, how there have been answers to prayer. One of the things, if you look back and we'll look back in the history of our church, we see that there's been many answers to prayer, both in salvation, where we prayed for people to be saved and they have gotten saved, for healing, where we prayed for people for their health and God has healed them. The most recently, we prayed for Diane, and she's had cancer twice and is cancer-free for the second time. That's a miracle of God. It's in an answer to prayer. And we need to encourage one another with how God is working in our lives and answering our prayers, using us, and that's exactly what Paul did when he got back there. He got back to Antioch. That is where he'd been commissioned along with Barnabas, where they laid hands on him, prayed for them, sent them on their way, and he reported back how God had used them mightily. We need to understand, as we said this morning, we serve the same God that Paul served. And as Paul went out and faced this great opposition from these people that had been enslaved to false teaching and false religion, their whole culture and whole lives, and many came to know Christ, but yet there was strong opposition against the gospel message. Paul reported how they were able to stand against it, and God's power overcame the opposition of Satan. We need to understand that in the day in which we live. We need to encourage one another with how God has worked in our life. The second thing I want you to see that Paul did when he got back there is he and Barnabas had time to fellowship with those Christians again. And those who have been historians, biblical historians, and have looked at the missionary journeys of Paul, believe that Paul could have stayed 1 or 2 years back in Antioch, which would be in southern Turkey, northern Lebanon today, in that Antioch, and just fellowshipping and teaching and growing in the Lord in that city before he goes out on his second missionary journey. And it just shows, too, that even when we're in the midst of the battle, there are times that we need to come back and be recharged. And this is one thing that I can't understand with much of the modern church today. I don't know about you, but when I'm out in the world, I feel constantly in attacks. I feel temptations. I feel all these strengths. But when I come into the church, I feel just I can be recharged and have fellowship with like-minded people and be encouraged. Yet to have many people today that don't want to come to church, don't see a need in coming to church, I don't understand it. Paul and Barnabas saw that need. They'd been out on the road for an extended period of time. You just didn't get on an airplane and fly from the city to city to city or in an automobile or a bus. You did it by boat, which would be a sailboat. You did it by walking or if you really wanted to move fast, getting a donkey or something like that. It was a whole different means of traveling, yet they covered a lot of area as they went this whole way all around, and now they came back here. And so they were gone for quite an extended period of time, and they needed to have fellowship. They needed to have encouragement. They needed to just spend time with the Lord and spend time instructing others in how God had used them. So Paul gave us some important lessons from this first spiritual mission journey that he went on. He showed us how that God can use him to bring the gospel to those that have never heard it before, to pagans, to also those that do have a foundation, but they don't have a complete understanding. We saw how that churches could be started. We saw how that God could use men that had not been in the faith that long, but yet through the power of God's Spirit and relying upon the Lord, could be raised up to leadership positions in those churches to lead the people and to instruct them and to encourage them. And then we saw how Paul did this all without any of the modern technology of today, and yet today we have all of these things that he didn't have, and we can't seem to get much done. And we need to become more committed to Paul's commitment, and that is to do what God's called us to do and to walk in the power of the Lord. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just speak to us through your word and help us to understand the missionary journey that Paul went on. And as he went back to get recharged at Antioch and to spend time with believers there to encourage them and to be encouraged by them, Lord, may we see that you are preparing him for a second missionary journey. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us to realize that our work is never done. And Lord, sometimes we can think, well, I've done this and I've done this. But Lord, you call us to live our whole lives in following you and walking in your power by the authority of your word. Now, Lord, I pray that you just go with us the rest of this week. Give us opportunities to proclaim your truth to others. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn with me to hymn number 552, Where He Leads Me. 552.